Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Chicago Bears Roundtable from PNC Studio here at Halas Hall. I'm Jeff Joniak with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, and the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, and our special guest this week, Connie Payton. Great to see you, Connie.
The smile, it
never goes away on this woman, right?
Right.
Right, a beaming smile.
You guys make me smile.
Beaming smile.
It's great to see you.
We brought you in for the smile, but now we need you.
This is a busy time of year for you.
It is. It's that time of year again, our wonderful toy drive at Soldiers Field, which is this weekend against the 49ers. So.
And how many years has this been going on, and has it continued to grow, and is it meeting and surpassing your expectations from what it started?
I know. For me, it's been about 16 years, and you know what? It does every year. People are so gracious and so kind, and you know, we couldn't do what we do if we didn't have loyal fans and loyal followers that believe in what we do. And this year we're hoping to take care of about 5,000 kids at Christmas. So we're needing people to bring those new unwrapped toys to the game on Sunday.
So you're going to be outside Soldier Field with bins, correct?
Yes.
And then so what exactly do they have to be unwrapped new toys?
New toys, unwrapped, exactly. Boy, girl, any age, it doesn't matter. You know, we'll take scarves, hats, and stuff for the older kids because the kids are in DCFS from infancy through 18, college, so... That's a great
cause. And do you think it would help if Jeff, for instance, let's say dressed as Santa Claus on Sunday? Because I know Jeff is very committed to the cause, and he would dress as Santa Claus.
I'd be the shortest Santa in history, but I don't think I could pull it off.
Oh, well,
he could do it. You know what, too, is they have a nice gift shop there, too. You can always go in and grab something.
Exactly.
Very late. Do you find yourself getting more toys, or do you more... like warm weather goods, scarves, hats, gloves, those types of things?
Well, you know, it all works. We would like to get toys if we can, you know, because this is our one big toy drive. And we're so thankful for the Bears to do this for us annually. And we thought if everybody bought a gift or every other person bought a gift, you know how many kids we can take care of? Because we don't only do the kids that are part of DCFS. We have a lot of families that in communities that come to us for Christmas. So we like to take care of those families, too, that are in need. So
right. No toy will go unused, that's
exactly,
for sure.
Exactly.
And the more the merrier. And, you know, the Bears being in good spirits after a big Green Bay win. It's nice to see their holiday reflection in a gift for a kid around the communities that you guys support.
Exactly.
Connie, how have you seen this foundation evolve from its origins to today?
You know what? We're very small, family-oriented foundation, but we have thousands and thousands of followers and people that truly love and believe in what we do. So it's grown, and, you know, we're excited that we have a new sponsor this year because we've lost a lot of monies, like grants and stuff over the years, you know, being that the state doesn't have much. So we've lost a lot of grants, but somehow we seem to make it every year and do what we need to do, be it graduation, back to school. Now it's Christmas time, and it's just a matter of giving those kids, you know, a couple of toys just to keep a smile and creating happy childhood memories. So somehow we manage to pull it through.
But it's a year-round effort.
You know, it is.
You know, when you think of foundations in the past, you know, okay, we got to get ready for this one big event or this big thing that's going to take. I mean, as soon as one event's over, you got another one that started or another one in the future and ones you're looking at. So that's a good thing about it, though, is the fact that you year-round effort into the enjoyment that you give so many people on a lot of different
ends. And it's right here. It all stays right here in our state, and then we take care of all of our kids all the way down to Kankakee. So we, you know, and there's a lot of kids, and it's sad to say there are that many kids in the foster care program.
I know helping kids was big for Walter. I remember the United Way commercial. I remember where all the kids are chasing after him. And you hear stories about when he ran the hill in Arlington Heights about some kids coming out there and him going telling them to be nice to their moms and stuff like that. And you always read about stuff like that. And kids were a big cause for him, weren't they?
They really were. He, you know, I always said if he wasn't gifted to be this wonderful football player, he probably would have been a high school teacher. That's what he wanted to do, is major in college with special education. And he just had this wonderful gift for kids and loved them. So this was his passion, and we're thankful that we can continue it.
He would have been a very entertaining teacher.
Can you imagine?
No kid would have fallen asleep in that class. Yeah.
You know, with your involvement, your kids' involvement in the whole social media aspect, the way you get your message out there, the different events you have, What do you think Walter would have been like on social media? Well, do you think he would have had opinions on Twitter, or do you think that he would have stayed off of it?
Good question, Tom. I really don't know. I mean, I know he was into toys and you know, like any gadget that comes out, but I wonder if he would have been into all the Twitter and all of that stuff. Maybe he would have. Or he would have had someone maybe do it for him.
I see him going down in the basement rather shoot into the shooting gallery or bow and arrow than responding to someone on Twitter. But it'd always be interesting, you know, because you have to have that involvement, because with Brittany and Jared, they're a major part of the social media
exactly.
world.
Exactly. They are. I'm not. I'm really not. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm not a follower of either one of them. Because I don't do any of that. You know, the most I can do is Facebook. I've sort of gotten into that a little bit. But Jared is really big. And Brittany, too. And they have wonderful followers.
Right. It's right in their age alley, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Have to
do it. But I got to tell you, there's not a time that, and I know you two both feel the same way, that we haven't seen Brittany. And just an unbelievable young woman.
Aww.
Just brimming with enthusiasm. And the big guy, he comes rumbling in here now with a microphone. And every single time he sees me in the locker room, huge smile and a big old bear hug literally lifts me up off the ground. Every time.
Is he not his father?
I'm telling you what. It's just great kids. Aww. You did a heck of a job.
Thank you.
Great kids. It must be very rewarding to see how they're blossoming as
well. As you know what
now.
I am really happy, and I'm happy, you know, that, you know, this is home and this is what they love to do, and sports is just in their genetics, you know. And both of them were very gifted athletes, but the fact that they're just now living it through what they love, you know, Brittany sometimes, you know, doing NFL Network, and Jared with his show, you know, they are great kids, and I know their father is with them and smiling. And, you know, and Brittany and I had a conversation the other day, and she goes, you know what, Mom? She said, I really miss Dad, because, you know, she goes, he and I would have so much fun, because I love all the things that he loves. I love fast cars, you know. I love shooting, you know. I love sports. And she's like, God, all these things. She goes, do you know how much fun Dad and I would have right now, you know? And I'm like, you know what? He knows it, too. So, you know what? He's there all the time with you guys.
When you see the way these guys have grown up, is this the personalities you've expected out of them? Or are they more outgoing than you assume they would be?
Well, Jared, I expect it. He's always been a people person, and he's just always had this heart and this smile, and people are drawn to Jared. Brittany was my very shy child. I mean, really, really shy, and she really surprises me how she's come out of herself and really comfortable in front of a camera and meeting people and, you know, speaking anywhere and everywhere. That's the surprise.
I think everybody was impressed with Jared and realized what type of kid he was when he gave the Hall of Fame speech. I believe he was the first son to ever induct his father into the Hall of Fame, right? And how old was he at the time? Like 11 or 12 or something like that?
12, I think. But if you only knew what I went through, we went through trying to get him to do that. He thought it's like the corniest thing. Do I have to put on a suit? I'm not putting on a suit.
You're
kidding. Dad, if you want me to do this, I'm not wearing shoes. I'm wearing tennis shoes.
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm serious.
I would have expected just the opposite.
No.
That's interesting.
So that's typical kid, it sounds like, to me.
Typical kid. Yeah. It's like,
Jared, what's the matter with you, buddy? Come on, man.
But you think the first time opportunity for that, and then he's kind of set a standard in a way that other guys have been introduced by their kids and stuff, because the example was set by Jared and, you know, Walter choosing him to do that.
Well, it was a surprise. None of us knew who it was going to be, and It was a big surprise. But Jared, I mean, really, I sat there, this nervous mom, it's like, he's not going to pull this off. And he did an excellent job, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, we were proud of Walter at that moment, but I think even more so that Jared was able to get up and introduce his father.
I have to tell you that I grew up idolizing Walter, pretty much. And I talk to you about him all the time. But I've never really asked you, and I want everyone else to know, what was it like being married to him during the height of his career when he was a superstar? When, no offense, the Bears didn't have a whole lot more. Well, until you got, yeah, you weren't on the team then.
Man,
you weren't on the team
here
then,
too.
Right? But I mean, everybody knew it was Peyton was getting the ball, and they still couldn't stop it. What was it like back then when he was emerging and becoming the biggest thing in Chicago?
You know what? It it's what he loved and it's what he wanted to do. And I think he enjoyed all of that. You know what? Really, I mean, he worked harder than anybody I know. And honestly, and he never complained. I mean, he really didn't. I mean, after every game, it didn't matter how beat up he got. I never knew it. He would come home and, you know, I wouldn't see him ice. I wouldn't see him do any of that stuff. He would just go down in our, we call it the dungeon, downstairs in the basement, and he would have his time, and he would watch film, and he would do stuff. And so he was constantly learning and pushing himself, and his goal was to get better each game. You know, so he was harder on himself than anybody.
I think that's the biggest key. Is I don't know if anybody's ever played the game of football with a much desire to be better the next week as you were. And just questions that I remember asking Walter, because you don't know what motivated him. And one time we were walking out to a game in his 11th year, and I said, Walter, why are you still so great? And he goes, because I'm not rich. And it was it's just different things that motivated. And I don't think that motivated him. I think Walter was great because he wanted to be great. And that's the inspiration that young kids should take from him, no matter what they choose to do.
Exactly. He set goals, and he wanted to get better each game. It didn't matter how, if he did 200, well, maybe I'll do 205 in the next. You know, really, he kept pushing himself all the time. And that's why it was so difficult when Jarrett switched over to football, because he didn't have that same drive and motivation. But I don't know how many people do.
I was going to say, nobody else does.
That's why he's the greatest. I mean, this is the upper crust of athletics, you know, a guy with that kind of mentality. And, yes, if you are motivated by money, and everybody wants it, certainly, but I don't think the NFL is the place for you then, because it's a man's game, man. It's just different than any other sport, and what you have to put in to get out of it, and what you owe your teammates, and what you owe your coaching staff and your franchise. I mean, I think that's as well as you could put it right there.
Oh, yeah. I think motivation is fleeting, but you got to have it forever if you're going to be great. And I think that's the message that Walter gave to his teammates is, listen, it's not about me. It's about your preparation to be great, and everybody's got to prepare the same. And I think that's why we're a great team, is because our leaders got the message across to every one of us.
All right, so I do this from time to time when we have a guest in that hot seat. So look over your left shoulder there, and you see that logo right over there, right? What does that mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I think about when Walter was first drafted, and I thought, Chicago, you're going to that really cool place. But you know what? We couldn't have picked a better family to be a part of. I love the Chicago Bears. My kids, too. They bleed blue and orange. I mean, truly, they really are a family. We love the tradition of the team. You know, we love what they allowed Walter to become. And how they still, you know, have this wonderful, I mean, you know, they have tributes to Walter all the time. And how they've allowed Jarrett and Brittany and I to continue to be a part of the Bear family. And, I mean, I love the McCaskies with all of my heart. They truly are my family. And all of Bear players are my family. They really are.
You know, the way the community has embraced the name Peyton, you see the Chicago Bears, the first name associated to the Chicago Bears, like all the other great Sayers and Butkus, you know, Peyton's mentioned right up there. And I think it's an important name in Chicago. And I think it's held a certain standard and respectability to our city, even though it is Chicago, because of a guy like Walter Peyton, everybody knows of the city of Chicago.
Well, I couldn't think of another city that would pay tribute to Walter as as Chicago has. Have all, you know, all of these years, and it's, you know, I mean, it's been, 16 years, but it doesn't seem like it, you know, because there's always something happening in his name, so we find a way to keep him alive, and really, there's not a day that I go by that someone doesn't share a Walter story. You know, I meet all the Peyton babies, the kids named Peyton. Really, it's just something.
Our dog's name's Peyton now. We got a new puppy a year ago, Peyton.
Exactly.
The Bears, Peyton's the puppy.
The Bears just played the Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving night. Do you keep an ear and an eye to it, or is it TV on?
Oh, no, it was on.
Okay.
The sound on the radio up, right?
right.
Of course.
Exactly. Wink, wink. You guys do a great job. You really, really do.
Tom
you
is
truly,
great.
Truly, truly do. You really do a great job.
And I know his memory, Walter's memory, is very alive here at Hallis Hall. This is the Walter Peyton Center. And, I mean, I think about him every time I walk in there, because I don't know if you guys even realize, but the door, when you walk in, is right at the 34-yard line. And there's a big number of football with a 34 on it right there.
Honestly, I never realized that.
It happened by accident.
Really?
I never realized that.
It wasn't, right.
I don't think it was by accident?
Right. I don't think it was by accident that it worked out that way. Exactly.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly.
I had no idea.
It's great.
That shows you how observant I am.
Guys,
that's a great story.
We need to talk, too, about Walter's sense of humor, because he had the greatest sense of humor. He was always
pulling
pranks. He
did, but you know what, though? I was in the infancy of my career at that time. 85 Bears was really the first big assignment I had at training camp that year, and I still have interviews with these guys. I sound like I'm 10 years old, number one, asking the dumbest questions of Jay Hilgenberg and Dan Hampton, and Tom wouldn't talk to me because he was very mean at back then, and Walter. But Walter, if he was one-on-one with you, he would always answer a question with a question. And I was too young to deal with it. I was like, oh, no, I'm dead. He got me in a full body, sweat.
I have a couple of Walter stories. I was a freshman in high school. I went to training camp. It was here at Hell's Hall. Middle of practice, ball rolls over to me. I pick it up, and Walter's standing there. I throw it to him, and, of course, me being me, I said, throw it back. And he did. And right in the middle of practice, I'm playing catch with Walter Payton. Of course, my hands are probably shaking. Another time, I was a sophomore in high school. The Bears used to stay right across the street from my high school at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So my friends and I, this is before the team became huge. I mean, now there'd be security. There's nobody. Me and a couple of friends, we get in the elevator. Okay, we're going to go up. We're going to see if we can see players. Who gets on the elevator? Walter Payton. Of course, we're all freaking out. We don't say anything. We're just all standing there. He stands there. The door closes, and he starts throwing his body against the walls of the elevator. I mean, and you know how strong a guy he is. And I mean, that elevator was shaking back and forth, and we were all holding on for dear life, terrified. The door opens. He gets out. He looks back and smiles at us and nods his head.
I would have loved to have seen the faces, your faces
yes.
at that time.
Oh, I figured if that was the way to go. I mean, that was the word Walter Payton.
He did it around the house all the time. You just never knew which corner he was going to jump out of. I mean, it's always something. We had a very lively home.
There's a famous picture of him pulling Matt Sui's pants down in practice. I'm sure you have some great stories.
Yeah, God help you if you're a new guy in the room and then he walked in, because some way, shape, or form, he was going to immediately include you in the fun of it, either pinching you on the butt, picking you up from behind, or something. Just and that was one of the most unique things about him is, you know, nowadays superstars walk in and everybody frowns and looks to the ground. First thing everybody did was smile, and Walter made everybody in the room smile. And I think that was one of his most unique qualities of being a superstar. And he's the only guy I've ever asked for an autograph for me, that I was a teammate. You know, of all the great guys you played with before, and you know, it was all of us guys that grew up here, that he was a superstar to us, probably more so than a teammate.
Aww.
You were lucky, though. I mean, you grew up here as a fan, then you get to play with him.
Oh, I still remember at Platteville being in the huddle the first time with Walter Payton. I was so excited I couldn't do anything but stare at him, because I was thinking, oh my God, I'm in a huddle with Walter Payton? Is that, and it's something you, I don't think you ever overcome it. I think it's something that you appreciate it every time you're in a huddle, and he's in it with you.
Well, there's just certain stature and charisma and aura that comes with greatness.
No,
and that's
how
what
is it, Jeff?
That's what it is. You know? I haven't found it, unless there's a halo over me right now. I don't think so.
No.
All right, well, we appreciate you taking the time to come in.
You.
It was a pleasure. It's always great to see you. You always have some great things to tell us and a beaming smile. So.
Toy drive.
And the toy drive. That's right, everybody. Toy drive, Soldier Field Sunday. You won't be able to miss it. Bring an unwrapped brand new toy for a kid this Christmas, and it'll make you feel great as well.
Thank you, Connie, for joining us. Thanks, Connie. This was fun.
For Connie Payton, Larry Mayer, and Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching Chicago Bears Roundtable.